Hey Dreamers, this is Dio Samuel from Audacity to Lead. Keep on dreaming with Dreamers Podcast.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Nicole Kellerman Worth, who recently just got married, so congratulations.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. And she is making her dreams come true by leading her life from her intuition. Glad to have you on the show, Nicole.
I'm really excited to be here. I'm all about big dreaming.
I am too, and not only why I have the show, but it's so awesome just to be able to meet and talk to people that are doing things that are different, like you are, taking right. a topic that a lot of people talk about and turning it on its head.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome.
So, Nicole, why don't you give some background about yourself to start with?
Okay, so I'm a weight loss coach. My business is called Wildly Alive Weight Loss, and I got into the health field not because of, you know, being an athlete by any means. It was actually the opposite. I was raised not really understanding the importance of taking care of your body or eating vegetables. And I never struggled with my weight in high school. But then when I got out of high school, I gained 30 pounds and I was just utterly lost. So I did what a lot of women do, is I started dieting, because that's what we're told to do when we want to lose weight. And if anybody listening has ever done a diet, it sucks. It's horrible. It's really stressful. And so I just got on this path of doing diet after diet after diet after diet, because, as you know, they don't really work, and they definitely do not work for the long term. So over this 2-year span of dieting like crazy and exercising like a freak, because I really thought you could eat like canned tuna and carrot sticks and had to exercise for hours on end to really lose weight, I was getting nowhere. And I was essentially kind of creating a body image disorder, an exercise disorder, a food disorder. It was just a disordered way of thinking about all of those things. And so I saw this commercial for personal training school, and they said, "Do you love to be in a gym?" And I was like, "Well, I'm there all the time anyway." And they were like, "Well, you should be a personal trainer." And I was like, "You know what? That's not a bad idea." So it sounds really stupid, but I called a counselor and I signed up for personal training school that day to lose weight. I could have cared less to become a personal trainer, to be honest. And it sounds so stupid. And it was irrational to spend $15,000 to lose weight. But it was a blessing in disguise, because I found my passion. I was falling in love with the health field and being healthy. I realized I was doing lots of things wrong. And through personal training school, I lost majority of the weight and I started my own personal training business. And as I was going about my business, and I was going in-home, doing in-home personal training, I, even though I would tell my clients I love my new healthy and fit body, truth be told, I would come home and I would feel like a fraud, because I still picked and poked and prodded on things that needed, quote unquote, more work. So I was still very much in this obsessive dieting mindset, even though I had lost majority of the weight. So I thought I was still thought I was fat. And being the determined person that I am, and this may sound like I'm oversharing, but truly this is a part of my journey, I'm kind of a curvy girl. So I thought, like, I carry my weight in my hips. So I thought, well, if I can get my top half to match my bottom half, then I would just be a curvy trainer and then I would be happy with my body, I thought. So I got a breast augmentation and I really thought that that was going to make me happy. And yeah, it sounds funny now just even saying it, but right out of surgery, I was like, "Okay, Nicole, you're good. You have, you're a curvy trainer, you know, just accept that. That's who you are." You know, I was trying for so long to be, you know, like a Jillian Michaels, and truth be told, that's not my body type. And so 2 months out of surgery, I was trying all my clothes on. I was getting ready to go out with a few girlfriends, and every single outfit made me look fat. And that was my fall to my knees, surrender, crying, like, what's going to give? Like, I just didn't understand. I had spent all this time and energy dieting, and then I spent $15,000 on personal training school, and then $8,000 on a breast augmentation, and I was still unhappy. And so I kind of just gave up in terms of my old way of thinking. Like, I was like, this, whatever I'm doing right now is not working. So I just need to surrender and just whatever. And a few months later, I met my now husband. And I don't like to say that a man saved me, because he didn't save me. But what Zach taught me was how to live my life again. You know, he is the epitome of a liver. He loves to just go out and have fun and adventures. Like, he's a kid at heart. And that was nothing like me. I was like your checklist girl. I was your calorie counter. If I could have scheduled my whole life, I probably would have. I was very type A. But when I met him, I just started going on these adventures and living my life. And the beautiful thing about it is I lost any extra weight I was carrying around. I found compassion for my body and all she does do for me, even though she's not perfect and still has cellulite. And my relationship with food shifted. It was something that wasn't something that was a number or that disciplined that I used to discipline myself or reward myself with. It was something that gave me energy to live. And that's how my business, Wildly Alive Weight Loss, has kind of evolved into what it is because weight loss is truly about having more fun, getting out of your head and into your body, and living your life, dreaming big. And then your body kind of takes care of itself. It's so beautiful.
You know, I couldn't agree more. I can't believe that nobody tried to talk you out of getting a breast augmentation,
right?
To try to fit the mindset that you had of yourself.
Well, at that time, I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I knew. Okay, so I didn't really know what an eating disorder was, an image disorder was at that time. All I knew is that there was things about my body that didn't look like the bodies in magazines or some other personal trainers. So now I see I was doing it to try to find happiness with my body. And it was obviously a mega perfectionism mindset. But like, I am a very independent person. I've been that way my whole life. I was raised by two alcoholics, so I had to take care of myself. So if my parents tried to step in at all, they knew they didn't have any sort of ground to step on. I was like, no, you know, like, this is what I'm doing. I'm just the type of person, like, you cannot argue with me. If I want a breast augmentation, I'm going to do it. So even if someone tried to talk me out of it, I don't think I would have listened.
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, I'm sorry to hear that about your parents' situation.
It's actually a huge blessing in disguise. I mean, I have really learned to take my childhood and grow so much from it. And I know that I wouldn't be the person that I am today if my parents weren't addicts. And I've obviously done a lot of work and a lot of healing in that area, but I used to be pissed off and angry about it, but now I'm actually really thankful for it. Not that I'm thankful that my parents are still alcoholics, but I've learned how to take these lemons that I was raised with and really make lemonade and learn how to grow and evolve from it. Because most people actually don't have a quote unquote normal childhood. So, you know, that Partridge Family idea that we get, only like 20% of people really get that. So it's like, I'm more the majority than the minority.
No, I would totally agree. I mean, growing up in a situation where there was plenty of times where I felt like I was the adult at 6, 7, 8 years old.
Right.
It was not ideal, but it led me to where I am. And that's exactly where I, you know, our pasts always, are important to make note of and to, in some ways celebrate, because they led to who you are today.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Now that you've gotten past all of that stuff, everything, I'm curious as to what you had to do and the first steps that you took once you decided that you wanted to, I guess, be a coach of a different, well, I was about to say horse of a different color, to, you know, from the Wizard of Oz, but, you know, to be somebody different than all the other health coaches that are out there.
Well, I definitely think that this mentality of like living your life and stop restricting and the calorie in, calorie out model is definitely fading away. It's, I mean, from a factual standpoint, with all the diet food and stuff that's out there, the calories in, calories out actually is not working anymore. There are people who can follow that and actually not lose weight because they're eating processed foods because they're low calorie, but they're still not losing weight because it's crap either way, you know? So I think it's actually becoming more common than what people think, but it's not mainstream. I feel like it is becoming mainstream just because Biggest Loser, the last round of Biggest Loser, they had two new personal trainers, and the personal trainers were talking about emotional healing and, you know, quoting Marianne Williamson. And I'm like, whoa, this is so cool. Even though I'm not a huge fan of Biggest Loser and how they really, you know, put those contestants against their body, basically. But like, I really think it's starting, like the shift is starting to happen. People are starting to realize that weight loss is an inside process. It's not about cutting yourself off the head, and it's not purely a math equation.
I couldn't agree more. The time in which I weighed the least in my life was when I was enjoying life, DJing every single weekend. So I was lugging, you know, 50-pound speakers and 25-pound turntable boxes and all this gear and equipment, and then standing and sweating for 4, 5, 6 hours at a time, and then having to to load all that back up in the car. All of that time was when I weighed the absolute least. And when I look at pictures now, I'm like, wow, I really looked ill. Like,
oh, really?
And not in the cool sense. Not in the cool sense. Ill in the sense like I was looked like I should have been in a hospital. I was that thin. You know, at 6'2 and being 170 pounds, which is odd because if you look at that stupid old, not even the BMI. Right way BMI thing,
yeah.
I was right where I was supposed to be.
Right, and it's like, that thing is so flawed.
I know. Well, it wasn't even designed for what it's used for. I mean, I've watched Penn and Teller's show BS. Mm-hmm. And they ripped that whole notion apart that it's like this whole BMI thing is just not real. It's not realistic at all.
It's not at all.
Even when I was turned into a runner, I lost quite a bit of weight, 40-50 pounds, but I still couldn't go below 200 because I had actually also developed an upper body to mm-hmm. go along with the weight loss. So a lot of it just, again, like you said, comes back to the lifestyle. It's more than just eating. It's a 24/7 thing, and you know, obviously diets are great if you need to lose 5 or 10 pounds for a very short period of time, but it's not going to last.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
So how did you go about getting it online for yourself?
Well, that's kind of interesting. I was doing in-home personal training, and though it was awesome, I was exhausted. I mean, it was exhausting. I was driving in-home, driving all over the Denver metro area, and I would get home, and I would just be utterly exhausted. And so I knew something needed to change there because there was only so much time in the day, and I knew that if I wanted to have kids, I would have no energy for them. And also, I was realizing that with some clients, they were losing weight with the same exact protocol and program as others who weren't. So it really got me thinking, like, about this whole thing. It's like, maybe this isn't a math equation. You know, like this is so much deeper than what we're giving it credit to while I'm going through my own journey, you know, with Zach and all of these light bulbs are starting to go off. So I've always wanted to kind of go into coaching, and we uprooted our life from Denver into the mountains. And truth is, people up here in the mountains are really fit. There's not a lot of weight loss. And I was always focused on weight loss. So it was even more signs for me to start pursuing my coaching career. And that's kind of how I started shifting online, is I knew that weight loss was more about your mindset and what was going on in your head than the mechanics of working out. So I wanted to get to the root of that. And if they wanted to get a personal trainer, great. But I wanted to help that set that foundational piece so they could lose weight forever.
So Nicole, when you decided to become a health coach, how did your family take that approach that you were like going to go and do this thing where it wasn't a normal job?
Well, okay, so I'll say that my family, my parents still really don't understand what I do. and obviously that has something to do with the alcoholism. They're not really present. They're, out of their life in a lot of different ways. But, even my closest friends, it was, it's still kind of hard to explain, like, oh, what do you do? How does it work? And things like that. So the support at the beginning felt very flat and just not really there, because I think people didn't really understand it. And even with Zach, he understood it and he was super nervous about it, as I was, because I was going from, having a full clientele base, making pretty good money as a 24-year-old, and then basically losing all of my personal training clients to coaching. And my first 2 years in business were really, 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 really hard. Really hard. Like, the hardest 2 years I've ever been through. And that was because of my own journey, not just the coaching. But, selling something online was way different than selling one-on-one personal training sessions. There was a lot of learning curves involved and a lot of perseverance and a lot of days when I thought I wanted to quit. But I'm so happy that I just kept my focus forward, because it all is now paying off and it feels good not to live off of credit cards, for sure.
Well, how long have you been a health coach total?
I started at the end of 2010.
Okay. All right. Well, very cool. Mm-hmm. That's so it's obviously you did hit a point where it turned for you.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, what's been the biggest roadblock for you?
Not following my heart, not following what I want to do, focusing so much on what other business owners are doing and what other coaches are doing and how they're launching and how they're successful, trying to replicate what other people are doing. Even if you're adding your own like flavor and style onto it, I still don't think is the road to success. I think that it's about being you as much as you can. The truth is I'm a loud person and I curse sometimes and I have lots of energy. And before, like when I was first starting out, I was being somebody else. I was afraid to be who I really was. I was afraid to be loud because I was afraid to be judged, right? And so I wasted a lot of time searching and going online and figuring out all this information on how other people are doing it. Though I think there is some value in that, but truth be told, I think it's better to look at people outside of your industry than in your industry, because then it can kick up all kinds of crazy emotions and comparison and yada, yada, yada. But, it's when I really started coming into what would I want? What would I want when I was struggling with my weight? What process would I want to go through? What would I need the most? Not what Sally Health Coach is doing and how her clients are getting success. Really stepping into, because who we market to is ourselves. And so if you can just create a program that you would have really needed and loved, and followed your intuition and what feels good for you, and have been unapologetic about being who you are, loud, not loud, quiet, shy, sarcastic, cusses like a sailor, whatever, like just being you, that has really what has catapulted me, is just coming back into who I am.
It's tough a lot of times to identify with yourself, especially when you look at it from a term of like what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. I do agree that there is some value in seeing what other people are doing. But I think sometimes it's more important to see the how rather than all the other questions. Like, what specifically, okay, they're offering this. Well, it's working for them. Maybe I should do that. But when I say the how, I mean like, okay, so you got to have a website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's part of the how do you get people, right? Or mm-hmm. how do you get people to come in? Mm-hmm. Okay, Facebook and all the other social media, and then actually going out to, say, conferences and stuff and meeting with people and getting those one-on-one contacts as well to fill the pipeline. But at the end of the day, it really is up to you. And I love the idea of going to other industries and looking at what they're doing and then adapting it to what you're doing, because you won't be able, to get that comparison to you know, the other health coaches that are in your
right
that you're competing with.
Well, my most successful program is an idea from something outside of my industry. So I'm sure a lot of people listening knows the 21-day meditation challenge from Oprah and Deepak. Well, they started that in 2011, and I did it. And I said, oh my gosh, this is so great. I love this. I love getting daily emails. And so I created a 21-day Get Moving challenge that was very similar. And this was before all the challenges, all of a sudden challenges have blown up. But I didn't start them, but I really started before they were really big. And I took the 21-day Get Moving challenge and I just put my heart into it. And I just created something that I would have loved. Little movements every day, if it's a workout video that's 10 minutes long, or if it's saying go for a walk or something like that. And I created it, and it by far is my most successful free resource. It just gets bigger and bigger every time I run it. And I think it's because, and I see all kinds of other people doing challenges, but I think that they're doing it because other people are doing challenges and they're just duplicating and replicating. They're not really making it for them and what's good for them. And I've seen lots of entrepreneurs try to do challenges and it not go over well. And I just say, like, you need to make it your own. Do you even like challenges? Would you even do a challenge? Do you even like daily emails? Some people hate themselves and want to kill themselves with daily emails. So, you know, like, it's again, it's about shutting off the computer and tuning into what would feel good for you.
Yeah, daily emails are tough. I mean, me personally would not. I'm not a big daily email person, but I could see. I could see some people really loving that, especially if they're really passionate about making the changes in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. I really enjoy it, for sure.
So, Nicole, what was your childhood dream growing up?
Oh, that's such a funny question, because I don't really know, and I've talked to Zach about this, is I don't know if, and I'm sure there's some research on it, but children of alcoholics, I don't remember a lot from my childhood, and it sounds really sad, and it is sad, but I think it twofold. I think it's a coping mechanism for children of alcoholics, and I also think that my parents don't ever talk about memories, ever, because I don't think they remember them. And so when I first met Zach's family, and his mom would always tell me these really cute stories of Zach and playing with his nunchucks because he loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and he'd be playing in the backyard by himself, I realized, like, oh my gosh, my parents never, ever talk about this. Never tell me how I was as a child. So I know it sounds really sad, but I don't think I really had much of a dream as a child. I know that when I was going into high school, I did this senior year project where you, like, recorded a video and you recorded all these certain things, like big things that were happening then. And, you know, it's like VHS style. It's awesome. And I was watching it a few years ago, and all I wanted to do was be happy. That was always my dream from high school that I could remember. Anytime, like, I had a wish, I would wish to just be happy. That's all I want. All I want in life is to be happy. So simple, but that's really what it was for me.
You know, I could totally see that theme going through, especially like when you got to the breast augmentation. You were just telling me about how you're like, I just wanted to be happy, and this is how it needed to be, and that this is it. This is it for me. So I could totally understand that. And while it is sad, it's the past that makes us the you know, who we are today, and you've obviously have turned that into something positive to impart to help other people dealing with similar issues. So So with that said, though, what do your dreams for the future look like?
Simplicity.
So you went from happiness to simplicity.
Yeah. Well, I think happiness is simplicity in my mind, because I'm an entrepreneur, and as you know, like, sometimes we just can't shut off our mind and we go all the time. And so I, you know, I was raised by alcoholics. I have kind of an addictive personality. So even though my addiction was never hardcore drugs and alcohol, I had addictions in other things. I had addictions with work. Ever since I was 14, I had 3 jobs, worked really hard. And then my addiction obviously became my body for a really long time. And then after I started to come to terms with my body, my addiction soon became my coaching career. And I got really obsessed with success and getting further. You know, it was an addiction. And so I am happy to say I am addiction free. I've been addiction free for like 1.5 years. And what I find, what triggers that mentality is too much information, too much comparison, being online for too much. And again, I love having an online job, but it can also really discourage you because it's so easy to go online and go through your Facebook feed and compare who's doing better than you. And, you know, like, I just feel like we're always bombarded with so much all the time that it just stresses us the hell out. And we can't find happiness because we're so busy being bombarded by a million things at once. And so I really have a dream to, like, live in a little cabin. I still want to run my coaching career, but I want to live in a like, the internet scares me the most when I think about children. And I want my kids to play outdoors and get dirty and be out there till the sun goes down and not really want or desire to be in front of a screen all the time. You know, like, simplicity is truly, I think, what will make most people happy, not an overly schedule, like an overly busy schedule, even though we all think that that's what makes us good people. It's really about coming back to the roots of our life, of family and love and being outside and playing and being with nature.
Well, I think that sounds beautiful. I think that it's awesome that you want to try to minimize, even though you are doing an online business, you want to minimize online. And I can totally sympathize with that. There is an awful lot of stuff bombarding us constantly. And mm-hmm. it's tough sometimes to be able to turn it off, especially at night when you're like, you're sort of tired, but you're not tired enough.
Right.
And
right.
You know, Facebook is only 2 or 3 clicks away from of the finger, you know.
Right. Right.
So it's tough to be able to turn that off, and I think it's good that you want to be able to do that, especially considering the fact that your business model is based around not overindulging.
Mhm. Yeah.
Before we tell people how they can connect with you online, there's that word. do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share, Nicole?
Yeah, I think the biggest piece of advice that I think anybody can benefit from is heal your relationship with your body. And even if you're a man listening to this, you're like, oh, that was so airy-fairy woo-woo. But like, for so many years, I worked against my body, even though, you know, yes, I was trying to lose weight, but I thought that my body was just merely this thing that hung on me, that in my case was always wrong, would never be right. And that's it. This just is this thing that hung. But the truth is that there is wisdom in our bodies. And anything that you are grappling with, if it's leaving your job that is totally unfulfilling and draining, or pursuing something else, you know, whatever questions you're grappling with, truly your body has the answer. You just have to figure out how to silence your mind a little bit more and settle into how you're feeling. You know, how you feel has a lot to do with the answer. You know, like, if you're grappling with a situation, I would say envision one scenario. Tune in. How does it feel in your body? Does it feel constricting? Does your stomach tighten up? Do you start to breathe, you know, short breaths? Do you get nervous, you know, in like a not good, very constricting type of way? Or when you envision it, envision another scenario, and though it's scary thinking about leaving your 6-figure corporate cushy job, but you envision kind of your dream and where you really want to go, And though it's scary and maybe you feel butterflies in your belly, but it feels very expansive and free. And like you can take a deep breath and like, yes, like that feeling in your body, that's your intuition telling you that, yes, this is scary. I understand that. And your mind can give you all the reasons why you shouldn't leave this six-figure job. But your intuition is telling you that that is the direction of true happiness and freedom and to follow it. And I really do believe that your intuition is always right.
Yeah, you know, I tell a lot of people that a lot of times you just have to learn and teach yourself how to listen to your body. And that's why, like, you know, I do distance running, and there's plenty of times, especially in the last year and a half, that I haven't been able to train for these distant runs where I'm doing half marathon or even full marathon distances. No, I'm not the fastest, but I also know how to listen to my body. So I know what I can, what I have accomplished, what I can accomplish. And going forward, I know, like, okay, if there's a pain or there's some kind of like, okay, this is not normal, I know, because again, I trained myself to listen to my body.
Right. Exactly.
So Nicole, I would love for you to share how people can connect with you online.
Yeah. The best way to find me is to go to my website, wildlyaliveweightloss.com.
Awesome. Well, I will definitely have that in the show notes for people to find and connect with you.
Perfect.
So I really appreciate you taking the time today to come on the show.
Yeah, it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the stories and the knowledge that you dropped on all the listeners. So
good.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.